I just wanted to start off this morning with saying I thought it was very interesting in praise and worship when it was spoke about a dam being released. And I have been going back over past sermons and people who have visited here, and it was Annie McCaffrey, am I pronouncing her name right? McCaffrey. In the beginning of her first sermon, she spoke about Eastgate being a Judah, which is a praise and worship team, and she apologized to us that we have to go first. And because the praise and worship goes first in battle all the every time with God. And she also began to speak about how Eastgate was somewhat of a stagnant water. And we were under siege with no inflow of water or outflow of water, no inflow of food, no outflow of food. And it's very, very prophetic that he said this morning about the dam breaking. And Eastgate is in a season of renewal and rebirth. This is the month of Shavuot. Am I saying that right? Shavuot. It's the month of the season of renewal and rebirth. So I just thought I'd share that. Like Henny said, God's been speaking to us all morning. I want to start off on Matthew 12. He's going to pull that up for you. I'm calling the title of my sermon, Seeking the Will of Our Father. We all want to seek God, and we want to all hear from God, and we want to understand God. That seems to be our main struggle. When we read the word, when we hear a sermon, we don't understand. Okay, so we're going to start Matthew 12:46. Actually, I might read a little different. Okay, while he was still speaking to the people, behold, is this still on? Still on? I can't hear it. What happened? Oh, there we go. Okay, 46. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood aside, asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and my mother." So we are all looking to do the will of the Father individually, corporately, nationally. So there is a process that I found. I have different tools. There's a man that does a great teaching on the kingdom. His name is Miles Monroe. And I'm also waiting for some books from Henderson. What's his name? Robert Henderson. And so we're going to be learning more about the kingdom there. But so there's a process in getting the will of God for our lives, in hearing God and understanding God, and having wisdom. So we start with, interestingly enough, we start with Solomon, who asked God, or God asked him, "What do you want?" Wouldn't that be nice for God to ask you, "What do you want?" You know, what would some of us say? "Well, I want a bunch of money," or "I want a bunch of possessions. I want a house." But he asked for understanding. So today, I want to try and convey a message that helps us all understand how to process revelation. Okay, so now I want to go to speak more about Solomon. So the process goes like this. First we get knowledge. Then we seek understanding. Then we seek wisdom. Now, First, knowledge, we have to have some information to begin with. And then the second process is to understand the information or comprehend the information. I can have a lot of information and comprehend it, but I can also apply it incorrectly, so it makes it void. So then the thirdly, you need wisdom to apply the knowledge, the understood knowledge. The definition of wisdom is application, the act of putting to a specific use or purpose. So God speaks to us, but sometimes we don't understand it. So I'm trying to go through the process here. We have to continue praying. When we hear God, we have to continue praying for understanding and the application of the revelation. It's not over yet. Okay, so now let's go into Matthew 13. And now he starts talking to the people here in parables, which the scholars say is parabolic language. So let's start on verse 1 here. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they were withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, and some hundredfold, and some 60, and some 30. Who has ears, let him hear. Okay, so that's just to start this parable off. Parabolic language and parables are to hide truth. So we ask, why does God have to hide truth from us? We want to know, right? Does anybody want to know the truth of God? Okay. So we ask ourselves, why is he hiding this? So what we understand is that a parable is to hide truth to be revealed when you're ready. When you're ready. Have you ever been reading the Bible and all of a sudden you know that you know God spoke to you and that scripture came alive? There was illumination. You know that God spoke to you. Now, understanding parables is similar because a truth is not ours. Nothing is ours until we discover it. Does that make sense? Nothing is mine until I discover it. So if you have 20 teachers standing before you, or scholars, and they speak the truth all day long, it's exactly what God's saying. It doesn't mean anything until God's revealed it to you, until it's yours. So things are hidden in parables. Okay, so I want to skip down to verse 10. So here the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? So they were also interested in why Jesus was hiding the truth. So first of all, we have to see here who's speaking to Jesus. It's the disciples. Disciples are students. They are not the multitudes. Disciples are disciplined ones, is a definition for a disciple. Okay, so now he goes to answer them. So remember who he's speaking to. He's not speaking to the multitudes now. He's speaking to disciples. These disciples, let me back up a minute. We have to remember that it's special that he reveals his truths to disciples only and not the multitudes, because we have to look at their lives. They've left fishing boats. They've left their families, farms. Luke left his medical practice. Matthew left his accounting office. They left their jobs. So students are who God reveals his truths to. So that's why things are given in parables, to hide the truths for those who are truly seeking. Here's another example. Well, let me read the scripture first. Sorry, I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Okay, then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven." So here we see it's only to the disciples. He doesn't say this to the multitudes. Only to you it's been given. Why? Because they gave things up. Okay, for to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I have to back up for a second. I want to go to 1 Kings 4:29. Let's see. Okay. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand of the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom was excelled by the wisdom of all men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all the men," and this guy names off a whole bunch of men, "and the sons, and his fame was in all the surrounding areas." So this guy's wisdom made him famous. Okay, he spoke 3,000 proverbs because of this understanding that God gave him. His songs were 1,005. Also, he spoke of trees, the cedar trees of Lebanon, even to the hippus of the springs out of the wall. He spoke also of animals, of birds and creeping things, and of fish. "And men of all nations, from all kings of the earth who had heard his wisdom, came to hear the wisdom of Solomon." So wisdom, when people hear this wisdom, they want to come and be entertained sometimes. So to these multitudes, Jesus was entertaining. So he hides things in parables because he only wants disciples. Don't get me wrong, he came to save the entire earth. He only wants disciples. Okay, you guys are pretty serious this morning. Making me nervous. Is this making sense? Like Nikki was saying the other day, it sounds real good when I'm at work all day and it's going through my head. But when you get up here, it's different. Okay, so I just pray that you guys hear what the Holy Spirit has to say, and I'm leaving a whole bunch of stuff out already. But it's okay. We'll get it figured out. Okay, so. So now he says this. Okay, we're back at verse 10. "The disciples came to say, 'Why do you speak in parables?' And he answered them, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given.'" What do you mean? He has what? What's he talking about here? "Even what he has will be taken away." "For one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has." What's he talking about here? If you keep this in context, I'm going to add a word just to make it understandable. For to the one who has interest, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. But from the one who has no interest, even what he has will be taken away. Okay, so disciples are ones who take interest. They give things up to seek after the kingdom. You know, in this parable, we see, I mean, in all his parables, Jesus never reveals his truth to the multitudes. He will always go behind the scenes and say to the disciples, I must be crucified, and I'll raise in 3 days. And he always says that to the disciples. He never says that to the multitudes, ever. He only reveals truth to his disciples. Multitudes want to be entertained. They want free things. Okay. Now that I jumped all around here, give me a second. I got to find where I'm at. Verse 12. Okay, so in saying that the disciples who have interests and those who do not, the ones who have interest, they are the ones who determine the lesson from Jesus. It's speaking here of hunger levels. There's other examples. I wrote some verses down where one time God is speaking and there's a bunch of people there. One heard thunder. One heard an angel speak. You know, the person right next to you, their hunger level could be different than yours. They could hear a different thing than you heard. Even in John 16:12, he says, I have things to say to you, but you cannot bear it. He was talking to the disciples then. Their hunger level and their knowledge was not to the level that he could share certain things with him. So, you know, what am I saying to us today? You know, he's saying this to me too. You know, my hunger level needs to be higher. I need to be not part of the multitudes and entertained at church, maybe with my friends or wherever. I need to be hungry for God. Let me see. Okay. So back to the two parables, you know, Jesus is basically just saying, I can't tell the multitudes what they don't want to hear. So, you know, I have to check my heart and, you know, what do I want to hear God say? Do I want the truth? Yes, I do, by the way. Okay, yeah, you know, it's possible to hear knowledge and information but not understand it. So we have to make sure that we continue to pray and ask for understanding. That way we can apply the understanding. Let's see. Okay, let's go down to verse 16. He says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So what he's saying here is, blessed are these disciples because Isaiah, Jeremiah, they prophesied about the king and his kingdom coming. And here these guys are sitting and they are able to sit with the king and understand what's going on. Okay, so now verse, let's go Okay, let's go to the explanation of the parable. Now, remember, parables are not necessarily meant to be explained. But Jesus is saying to the disciples on this one, hey, I got to make sure you guys get this. You know, he's not saying this to the multitudes. I got to make sure they get that. No, I'm going to make sure my disciples get this and understand what I'm saying. So I thought that was very interesting. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. That's pretty much all the farther we need to go. So when you hear from God, you get your knowledge, understanding of your knowledge, application of your knowledge. The devil wants to come and steal that from you. Has anybody ever heard a sermon, read your word, or even an unsaved person God can use to speak to you? And you're like, I know God said that to me. And time goes by, and you're like, that's not what God said. The devil snatches that from you. So in the light of that, we have to guard our truth. Remember, so you get knowledge, understanding, and once you get that, there's always a test. Wisdom is the test. Everybody gets tested. Jesus got tested. We're going to get tested. Soon as Jesus' first known revelation, it says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He heard from heaven. He heard from his father, got a revelation. He went out into the desert and got tempted and tested and scrutinized by the devil. So just a warning, when you hear from God, just remember, be looking for it. He wants to test to make sure that you believe what you heard. This is what happens. It's a whole process. Happens over and over and over again. Right? Second Corinthians 10:3-6. Yeah, might be easier in this one. Yeah, let's read it off that one. It's quicker. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds. Remember, when you hear from God, the devil's going to contradict you. Casting down imaginations. Another interpretation is vain imaginations. The devil's going to say tell you the opposite of what God told you. We got to cast them down. Bill gave a message a couple weeks ago about keeping our mind straight and forcing ourselves to stay in the will, in God's will. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, is revelation. And bringing every thought into captivity, into the obedience of Christ, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. Our thought life is very, very important. There's a lot of warfare in your thought life. Try it someday. Do it for a couple days. Try to only think about Scripture and praying. Try it. You'd be surprised how many stupid thoughts come in your mind. I've done it. It's amazing. Stupid thoughts, vain, useless thoughts. Why am I thinking about that? It's a battlefield in there. Try it. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 1:27. You don't have that one? Oh, that's right. That's one I wrote down afterwards. Sorry. Give me 1 second. I'm almost done here, guys. Hope you guys got something out of that. Hope I didn't fumble it up too bad. 1:27. First Corinthians 1:27. Okay. Yep. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are deprived. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. I went too far. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world. So what I'm trying to say is, remember, when we get revelation, it's sometimes it might seem, it's going to seem opposite to what you should do, probably. Because we're in the flesh too much, and we need to be in the Spirit more. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is not. So, in conclusion, I'm just asking us all to consider if we are part of the multitudes or are we disciples? Thank you.